What's up, rap fans? Welcome back to the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. Keep you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm Kyle French. Today is May 18th, and we got to get to some albums. We got The Book of Ryan by Royce da 5'9" and Srem 3 by Ray Sremmurd, three disc set, including the solo debuts of both members. We'll talk about if Wale's career can be rebuilt after his switch of labels. We got another hot song of the week and new music announcements to close out. As always, I hope you guys are finding the pod to be a quick and easy way to stay up to date on rap music. If you are, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog. Nothing wrong with culturing your pets. Get that dog woke. Let him know. Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast episodes dropping every Saturday. You're going to get the latest content, the latest news, the latest albums, everything. You guys know the deal at this point. So let's get into the albums here. We got The Book of Ryan by Royce da 5'9". And this is our second helping of Royce in 2018. You guys know he's a 40-year-old rapper from Detroit. We've been through this. Lyricism to the bone. Traditional hip-hop purist. This and that. He can rap his ass off. We all know him by now, right? And his album Prime 2, which we talked about probably a couple months ago now, definitely enjoyed it. But I referred to it as like just lyricism for lyricism's sake. Right, he's just a super experienced rapper, dope bars, tongue-twisting skills, but no real content. And I was cool with that. I was like, this is what Royce is. That's great. He's dope. He's not going to change. He's 40. He's been doing this for 20 years, right? And I'm wrong. The Book of Ryan shatters that mold completely. This is by far the most personal Royce album we've ever gotten. I mean, we get nostalgic trips back to his childhood on tracks like Bobble a Boat and Amazing. We also get into some dark memories like the standout tracks Power. You get this descriptive storytelling of holidays gone wrong at the Montgomery household. And it's just our first like in-depth look into what made Royce who he is today. He's never really gone into that stuff. It's always been more industry-devoted lyrics. More talking about, I'm a better rapper than you are, my pen game, all this stuff. Stun, like how early Eminem did his stuff too. It's not like super personal. It's almost like you're playing this superhero character, and that's great. But we just never learned a lot about Royce and all the challenges and the stuff he went through, his upbringing, none of that. I mean, he's put out a bunch of music. We never really got much of that. But we get a heavy dose of it on The Book of Ryan. We also get some strong introspection on like how his father raised him and now how it's affecting him raising his own son. There's a whole skit where it starts off with him asking his dad, like, why did you do this? I don't understand this. You were addicted to drugs. And he's talking about, you know, I don't think you were a good father and all this. And then in a split second, it snaps and it's his son asking him similar questions. And you kind of get that like both sides of it. And he was just kind of dealing with that the whole album. And there's just a lot of strong topics on here. Another takeaway was Royce was making a big stand on mental health. And he was talking about how he wants to break the perception that mental health is kind of like a weakness in his community, at least. He feels like in black communities, it's kind of laughed at as a weakness and pushed to the side, although it really cripples some of the people and ruins their lives. And he really feels like that needs to be talked about more and the perception of it needs to change. I mean, he has a bunch of reflections on like the industry as it is now, like the track Dumb or the track Caterpillar, where he is taking off the heads of all these mumble rappers. So as you can tell, there's just a lot to digest on this album, and it is really long. I mean, it runs like 20 tracks or so, but honestly, it doesn't really feel long. Every skit, every track has a purpose, and I just don't know if you'd really want to cut any of them. So I really have no problem, even at 20 tracks, because there's a bunch of skits, it only runs like an hour, 10, 70 minutes, not too long. But subject matter isn't the only change we get from Royce on here. He also really gets away from his production style tendencies. He's always been into the traditional East Coast sample-based instrumentals, and he kind of swapped that out for more modern-day production techniques. And this is why I kind of think this album is similar to what J. Cole did on KOD. Royce is able to take the roots of hip-hop, the stuff he knows, the area he wants to stay in stylistically as an MC, and adapts it to the synthetic production of the modern day era. There's so many just like pounding 808s on here that really like bolster up the production. I mean, every track that came on, like, I'm not kidding you, like the first like 10 tracks, every time the beat dropped in, I was just like, damn. Like, every single time. You know that face you make when just a fire beat comes on. You're like, damn, who made this? That was, like, almost every track. So I was really impressed with Royce in that sense because he usually does have phenomenal production. He's worked multiple times with DJ Premier, one of the greatest to ever do it. But it was kind of like we knew what we were getting. When the beat came on, it was like, that's dope. Another great instrumental from Premier. But I was so familiar with it, and I was used to hearing Royce on it. And this is just a change of pace. But he doesn't lack lyrically by any means. One of my favorite beats was the track Dumb. It sounds like the 2018 version of what Still Dre sounded like when Dr. Dre made that in 1999. Just these piano keys that are daggers with like a really nice kick to them and a nice punch to them. But like I said, don't worry. There's a handful of just lyrical gymnastics tracks on here that will surely appeal to the lifetime Royce fans. You get songs like Godspeed, Summer on Lock, which is a summer jam where that features Pusha T. Who else is on there? Fabulous is on there. Jadakiss is on there. And then you got that Eminem-assisted Caterpillar, which I talked about. Eminem comes on. He does his thing. He definitely avenges his poor performance on Revival. That album was borderline trash. I was not feeling it at all. And he still does sound fairly robotic on Caterpillar, but he avenged himself. It's a solid verse. But yeah, if you're looking for lyricism and the Royce you know, you can definitely find that on here as well. But Royce has continued to grow as an artist, and he's trying to get more versatile. And he attempted a lot more like vocal melodies than I've ever heard him go for. On Prime 2, he tried to sing a couple hooks, and it was a little shaky. Like, it was all right, but I probably would have preferred him get a feature singer to come in there and do a lot of that work. I just wasn't feeling it. And still hear some do fail. Like the track Cocaine, it was a really well put together song. But he tried to work those inflections and that waviness into it that really only experienced singers can do effortlessly. And you could just feel him kind of straining to get that done. But some tracks like First of the Month with T-Pain, which is a resounding success, an awesome duet between those two, and just shows his growth at age 40 that he can do this, which you never would have thought he could do 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. So I was definitely impressed with what Royce put together on here. Like I said, just continuing to grow even into his 40s. And I kind of had him put in a box. I thought I knew exactly what Royce was, and he broke that mold. The only real weakness on this whole album is the Caterpillar remix. Oh my God, he got Logic on this track. It's like the final track of the album, so it doesn't even hurt it that bad. And Logic said, it was like a month ago, he put up an Instagram caption, and he said it was the hardest guest spot he's ever done. And I'm like, listen, Logic has been taking L's left and right out here for like 2 years, so I'm a little worried, but hey, if he says it's the hardest he's ever done, I'll look forward to it, let's see what he got. And like halfway through his verse, he cuts out the instrumental. And you know people have been making fun of him for, he just doesn't quit talking about how he's biracial and he's white and black and he's got this like corniness about him talking about all that type of like surface level like race relations. And he cuts the beat off for 30 seconds just to yell about how he doesn't talk about that. He's like, I don't lean on that. And he's like going at all of his like critics, but he's not even rapping it. Like he's just yelling about the same exact things people criticize him for talking about. And it was horrible. But overall, if you cut the last track off the album, there's not a single track that I would really change on here. Conceptually, it was awesome. The skits are woven in and out really nicely. And you get to hear about the man that Royce da 5'9 is, has become, and used to be. He talks about getting over his alcoholism, how he's going to therapy, and he's inspiring other people in his community to do the same thing and get help where you need it. Just a lot of powerful tracks. And I just love this album. I mean, I was shocked by this, but it's just really fucking good. So, best tracks, Power, Amazing, Dumb, Boblo Boat, Stay Woke, and First of the Month. Least favorite, obviously that Caterpillar remix I talked about. And then if I had to throw it in there, I'd say either Life is Fair, Cocaine. I would recommend this album if you like Eminem, J. Cole, or Joe Budden. And overall rating, I'm giving this a mid 8 out of 10. And it's creeping into my top 5 of 2018. But I've done enough talking. I'll play a couple samples for you guys. I'm going to play my favorite track, Dumb, and also play Power, which is kind of like a flashback track to Royce's youth and the crazy events that took place in his household. So this is Dumb and Power from Royce da 5'9's The Book of Ryan.
I'm no longer a prospect, I'm what you call a veteran, legend man, I'm a prophet. You ain't no artist, you what I would call a concept, made to inspire gossip like Shade Room or like Bossip. Welcome to the Grammys where your likeness get used for promo hypeness and views. Okay, I hope that you knowin' that if you voted, you might as well, and I voted for no one. They knew when they made that category where that trophy was going. All this industry shit is, there ain't no middle class. Raise your glass, here's the classism. Either you a rich ass nigga or you's a bum. There ain't no in between. Sinners sell their souls, angels sell their halos and their wings. I had dreams of fucking the R&B chick. Then I found out that R&B chick already had a dick. Already slept with your favorite rapper, aren't we sick? You start as an artist and turn to alcoholic and quick. This shit is, man, I wish I would let a nerd work it in the scope and a coat by Kenneth Cole consult me about my image, bro. I'm the best rapper out this bitch, except the only catch is that I'm in this hole.
Oh, they so dumb.
So dumb.
How nothing that they do is no. They so dumb.
So dumb. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they so dumb. They ain't fooling me or you. They so dumb.
So dumb.
Let's bring the punches back. And sleeping fake woke niggas that had to come to that. I love promoting elevation in the space that all my brothers at. Now why I'm lying, I be turned up to these mumble raps. Watch where you coming at, don't be. This way Confucius started thugging at. This Metro booming mixed with Thundercat. That's where my niggas gain they muscle at. Somebody eating off your plate, how you gon' stomach that? Cause of that, all my niggas is like how we get to this, yeah. Man, I turn basic into intricate. I kill you with my simple shit. No tweeting when we kicking it. Don't tell me what you finna get. Silly, you could drown without a membership. Watch who you swimming with. It's 10 of us riding up on this city bus. Sinning, trying to hit for a scripture like it's Leviticus. Tackling reality, praying that it don't injure us. I love my niggas, but it's really us. When we gon' notice that we so.
Montgomery home. Dad has just been awakened again. Greg is making all kinds of noise. Dad is on his way angry again.
Who is that making all that goddamn noise?
Not me.
Greggy, get up here. You been out there drinking again? What the fuck I tell you about coming to my house with this disrespectful shit, nigga? Where the fuck you done been?
I'm thinking to myself, Greg, please don't say nothing stupid, man. Every time my daddy in his drawers and he's standing in the hallway mad at somebody, I swear to God he got the same strength as Superman. My brother turned around and just walks in the kitchen without even giving an answer, with his back to him, like I ain't gotta talk to you, nigga.
Nigga, you don't hear me talking to you?
Next thing my brother did is something that when it comes to my father, it's something you just don't do. He looked him right in his eyes and he asked him, what the fuck is you gonna do?
My father hit him so hard his body hit the stove, the oven dough hit the fucking floor, the turkey fell out the oven hole and landed near the stairs. Now daddy's standing over Greg talking about, nigga, you ain't hurt, get up, get up.
Then here come Vish talking about, dad, I don't think you gonna get up.
Then mama went damn near hysterical. She called the police came, neighbors was all in the street watching the cops taking my father out in handcuffs. Damn, man, that shit was real embarrassing. To all my friends I grew up with, who grew up fatherless, I know through me you live vicariously. I want you to know that we ain't no better than you or yours, we all needed therapy. We care about each other more than we care about if anybody understands us. What I'm trying to say is fuck you and happy holidays from the Montgomery family.
Every man reaches that point in life.
We don't wanna make excuses no more.
Life took me on a roller coaster ride. I've been up, I've been down, all the whippers and my daddy came. Took me on highs, turned around and then took me on lows.
So that's a little taste of Book of Ryan by Royce da 5'9. That was tracks Dumb and Power. Little pieces of those. Give you an idea of what it sounds like. I'm a big fan. But we got to move on to our next album we're breaking down today, and that is the three-disc effort from Ray Sremmurd, Srem 3. So not only do we get the trilogy of the Srem Life series with Srem Life 3, we also are getting the solo debut albums from each member of Ray Sremmurd, Sway Lee and Slim Jimmy. For those who don't know, they are a pair from Mississippi, both 22 years old, and actually brothers. They came up real young. Mike Will made it sign them when they were like 17, and he serves as their primary producer and kind of is credited with bringing them up in the rap industry. Swae Lee is kind of renowned for being a earworm hook artist. You've likely heard him on the track Unforgettable by French Montana. That blew up last year. And he just does a lot of really nice hooks for a bunch of guys in the trap scene and just the modern era of music. And Slim Jimmy has kind of been the sideshow, more or less. He hasn't gotten as much clout, but he is half the duo and just as responsible for their rise to fame as Swae Lee. We'll break this down in three parts because it is technically three albums. We get 27 tracks in total, 9 dedicated to each album. Right off the bat, we get Srem Life 3. This is obviously the album where they're both on every song. This finishes off the trilogy. And honestly, with how this turned out, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the last like Ray Sremmerd group album for a while. With Swae Lee leaning towards like R&B dancehall side of things and Jimmy moving into like hardcore trap, they're just stylistically really far apart and you can feel it on this album. It makes for a lot of verses that either don't blend at all, where they're working in different delivery styles, or one of them has to reach into a style they're not really fully comfortable with just to be compatible with the other guy on the track. And you can kind of feel as you go through, you're like, this is a song that was probably structured for Swae Lee and they fit Jimmy onto it and vice versa. And I just really felt that and it made it awkward and it was hard to ignore. There were a few times they clicked and it made for some fun little trap cuts like Perplexing Pegasus or 42. 42 has an addictive, drippy, layered beat from Mike Will. Sounds like something Pierre Bourne would put together. And that's what Mike Will does. I mean, he's kind of one of the faces as far as trap producers, especially when the sound was originated. He's been around for longer than a lot of young guys on the rise. Him and Metro are kind of like the top two, I guess you could say, for like mainstream superstar producers. And he delivered it here. He did what we expect from him. We get a couple nice features. Travis Scott is solid on Close, or CLOSE as it is stylized. And The Weeknd almost makes Bedtime Stories a really strong track. He's got those dark, piercing vocals that just bring you into another world. Unfortunately, Swae Lee thinks that he is The Weeknd light and tried to imitate him and kind of follow the path he laid down. Came up woefully short, clearly inferior, and it kind of ruins the song. I also have to note that neither Swae or Slim Jimmy flowed all that well. Obviously, you're relying on your delivery. You're relying on your flow and the aesthetics of the music when you're going for this trap sound. And they just didn't really deliver in that sense. I found it to be very dry and at times offbeat. They're just not really well-rounded, and it just didn't sound sonically all that great. Like I said, there are tracks where they come through. No doubt you'll find yourself nodding along, like another track like Power Glide. Even like Up In My Cosina, even though it's like not a good song, for whatever reason it gets stuck in your head, and that's what Swae Lee does. So there is some of that natural appeal, but overall, I find this to be inconsistent, average at best. Highlights, I would say 42, Perplexing Pegasus, and Power Glide. Right after we get Srem Life 3, we get hit with Swaycation by Swae Lee, his solo debut. And Swae has kind of been on track for that rock star status like Lil Uzi Vert, where he's attained like an appeal bigger than rap music. He has fans outside of it. He has crossover appeal. He's just an eccentric young personality living this souped-up lifestyle. But none of that really shines through on Swaycation. He doesn't execute or come through on that potential that is kind of hinted at in some of his past work. And this is like a 100% R&B dancehall style album. It has a little bit of that like dancehall trap influence, kind of like what Drake did on Views. And that's really the lane that Swae Lee is going after. And I think he's going to transition fully into that. Unfortunately, it's brutal. He doesn't really have a single component necessary to compete. His voice is all right, but his actual vocal performance has no rhythm. It often sounded really flat and dull. And honestly, it sounded amateuristic, which is something I don't say about a lot of rappers. Like, even if I don't like what they do, it doesn't sound like someone who I went to high school with could put it together. And Sway Lee's singing performance sounded like that. Like, straight up, it sounds horrible to say, but that's really how I felt about it. And the topics aren't much better. They're extremely surface level and cliche. He tries to hit up that zone, that lane, where you're talking about, like, young love and confusion and heartache and, like, this living fast lifestyle, all these girls, like, head swirling, whatever. But just none of that was really manifested. None of those feelings really came across to me. It didn't sound like he even experienced any of it. It sounded like he was a 10-year-old kid who had, like, heard about these things on the radio and was trying to impersonate pop icons that had, like, got stuck in his head and shit he had heard but never actually experienced. And that's just how it felt to me. He tried to do all this, like, extra stuff with his vocals and inflections and trying to get wavy with it. All of it sounded forced. And all of this is done while handcuffing producers. I mean, you got Mike Will Made It at your disposal, and you come with these super generic beats because that's, like, the sound he's going for. But it's been overcooked, it's been overdone, and he doesn't do it better. He does it worse than most guys out. As a whole, it's 9 tracks, and it's slow, it's boring, and somehow feels really long. A couple times he kept it simple and didn't force, like, the vocal expression as much, and they were passable. You get, like, I would say highlights were Offshore, Lost Angels, and Touchscreen Navigation. That's where he just kind of stuck to the basics, and it was just all right. But when he tried to amp it up and go, like, full R&B, it was kind of a joke. I just couldn't mess with it. So all things considered, a failure on his solo debut. But his buddy, the man who people think is riding his coattails and is just the other guy in Race Remembered, Slim Jimmy, also comes through with his solo debut, Jim Traduction, and somehow this is the highlight of all 3 albums. It's stuffed at the very end, which probably it deserves to be. He's not as big of a name, but this is vastly better than Swaycation. He is free to embrace the new wave culture that he clearly was destined for. No restrictions. Sway Lee's not holding him back and making him sing on tracks. He's running wild, and I was really feeling it. Mike Will cooks up a flames batch of beats. Jimmy rides them with ease, really punched up, fast tempo. Just the production perfectly complemented what Slim Jimmy was going for. And the subjects are going to be super simple. We're used to that by now. Money, girls, fast cars, living large. You've heard it all before, but Jimmy delivers it in a really fun way. The lyricism wasn't even, like, that bad. Like, he was kind of dropping a couple bars here and there, just, like, this really fast-paced, nonstop flow. And, like, Brinks Truck opens the album. You finish, like, those 9 dull tracks from Swaycation, and you get hit with Brinks Truck. It's a banger. It provides an energy we hadn't seen on the first 18 tracks of this album, and it didn't really let up. And he was versatile with it. Tracks like Keep God First and Growed Up prove that Sway Lee isn't the only earworm hook artist on here. Slim Jimmy can put them together too. And there's just multiple tracks I really enjoyed, would go back to, would put on my Slappers playlist. And he is no longer just the other guy next to Sway Lee and Race Remembered. This is really the only disc of the whole set I would recommend listening to. Strum Life 3 and Swaycation. If you don't want to listen to him, I wouldn't. If you're not a Race Remembered fan, don't go for him. But Slim Jimmy, Jim Traduction, I would check it out. I think it's legitimately one of the better trap performances we've heard this year. It's not, like, competitive with the best, but it's solid. It surprised me, and I kind of messed with it. So overall, for all 3 albums put together, I know that was a fast recap, but it was a lot of music that Race Remembered gave us. I'm going to go a light 4 on this, weighed down by Swaycation and really buoyed up by Jim Traduction. But overall, it evens out to a nice even 4 that I won't really much care about or listen to again, especially as a whole. There's no chance I run through all 27 of these tracks back to back to back to back to back. You get it. Again and again and again. So I'll give you guys a little taste of the action here. I'll play 1 track from Swaycation because that's the direction Sway Lee's going in. I'll play Offshore from him, and then we'll get that Slim Jimmy side of things with Brinks Truck, which is flames. And hopefully, coming off of Offshore, you'll feel what I'm talking about on Brinks Truck. So here it is from SREM 3 by Race Remembered, Offshore and Brinks Truck.
They think it's woman beside me. Cause the way I
care what my tears and my dreams.
Where do you wanna take me?
Little do they know they want money.
You be playing with me.
Got miles all over me.
Maserati.
Rolling off you, rolling off you. You are dozing off my kiss. And the joke is on you. Joke is on you if you fall for that old. Trip offshore, took the whip offshore. Yeah. I took a chick offshore. You should get out more.
Hey, hey,
hey. You should get out more. You should get out more. Baby, take a little tour. When we hit that floor. All the money down floor, that's what it's here for.
That's what it's for.
Do it up so large, do it up so large, like a breakout star.
What you found, it was on a crash course.
Do it large, do it large.
Going overboard, going overboard. We can hit that store.
Bring out the Brinks truck, I'm young, flying ice up. 100-yard dash, bitch, I had to run my price up. Nigga, boss your life up, I had to boss mine up. $10,000 outfit, $100 line up. Ayy, you know these bitches checking for me in the DMs, getting naked for me. I ain't even took the dollar out my pocket and the girl still shaking for me. And I'm frosty like Tony, in the club smoking weed with the owner.
Whoa.
I can walk on water, popping Ace of Spades like Corona. When you on top, niggas gon' hate on you. That what they supposed to do, I don't know how to lose,
yeah.
I think the Rari go faster without the roof. Hey, when you on top, niggas gon' hate on you. That what they supposed to do, I don't know how to lose.
Ay.
I think the Rari go faster without the roof.
Damn.
Fucking up shorty, I might go around and two. Stacking up, I love how my money counter move. NWA, nigga with attitude. I got a bag or two, and I dropped out of school.
Out.
I'm going up, check my vertical. Fucking main, I'm breaking every rule. TMZ harassing me, I got a camera crew.
Whoa.
I'm addicted to shopping, so everything brand new.
Everything brand new, yeah.
I'm friends with the jeweler, my diamonds like Shamu.
My diamonds like Shamu.
Hey, she rubbing her hair like she applying shampoo.
She rubbing her hair, yeah.
Pretty face, she got a little ass too.
Yeah.
Keep a few racks on me. I used to work in a factory. Niggas been hating, that shit never bothered me. I make that bitch come and swallow me. Not on her back, then I tell her to follow me. Teacher said that I'm a motherfucking prodigy.
Damn.
When I'm shopping, I don't care what it's costing me.
10 bands, really, that ain't a lot to me.
Woo.
Turn up my swag to infinity.
I leveled up on these niggas.
Level up.
Yo, I leveled up. Hey, I bezeled up on these niggas.
Bezel
yo,
up.
I bezeled up. I ain't got top of no negative energy.
No.
I'm on a winning streak, I'm on a killing spree.
We're winning, my nigga.
The devil be doing the most. But he don't ever get to me.
Bring out the Brinks truck. I'm young, flying ice up. 100-yard dash, bitch. I had to run my price up. Nigga, boss your life.
So that was Offshore by Sway Lee and Brinks Truck by Slim Jimmy. Just a little feel for where each of those guys are going to be going with their career looking forwards. I really think that the future for them is as solo artists. I don't think they have a whole lot of chemistry anymore. Whatever they did have, they've kind of grown apart from. And I wouldn't expect a whole lot of Ray Sremmurd music moving forward, I guess, is all I'm saying. But we do have some interesting news that I wanted to get to, and that is in regards to Wale signing a new record deal with Warner Brothers Records. And I know you guys are saying, who? Wale? Oh, yeah, I remember him. And it really feels like that, unfortunately. It feels like we left him behind, and more or less we have. Wale used to be right up there with like the Kendricks, the Coles, Drakes, Big Sean, Meek, ASAP Rocky. Those are like the big names, big faces at like the turn of the decade, at least mainstream-wise. If you want to check me on some underground rapper who's better than them, that's fine. I get it. But like those were the big names, and you can't really argue with that. And he was in that echelon, and he was on Atlantic Records. He was on MMG. But him and Atlantic came to like an amicable split recently. He didn't feel like he had much control or freedom over his music. He wanted to be the boss instead of having a boss was a big quote he said. And Atlantic was probably fine with it because Wale's not moving units these days. He's just not. And Atlantic is not in the business of supporting flops. And Wale's recent album Shine from 2017 was a flop. He only sold 25K in the first week, which is a huge dud considering where he was, those names I just mentioned. So the question is, can he turn it around on Warner Brothers? Because clearly, if you read the interviews he's done recently, he has a bunch of confidence. He's still got the passion. He's still got the hunger to be a top-level artist. He wants it really bad, which is something for a guy who's been in the game this long and had this type of low level of success recently. It'd be easy for him to just be like, all right, I'm done. I gave it my best shot. But he's not doing that, and so I feel like there is still something there. There is a spark. But the challenge Wale faces is he's just a really average rapper in so many aspects. He's not going to blow you away in any one lane, and he just doesn't have like a really strong strength to play to. All those names I mentioned earlier, obviously Kendrick and Cole are really well-rounded, but they have the lyrical conscious stuff on lock. If you want really lyrical conscious music, you know exactly where to get it from. Those two guys. Meek became the face of MMG, and he was like the mainstream street rapper, like the modern day 50 Cent almost. He had that covered. Rocky had his own lane just because he was really diverse. Drake could come out here and make anything hot. He could just take any style and make it hot. He had that natural appeal. Big Sean, although I think he's less talented than all these guys I just named, had huge singles that have kept him at the top and kept him really relevant and moving a lot of units. Wale just didn't continue to move forward. He didn't find his own lane, and therefore he just slowly faded out. It's not even to say that he can't make good albums. He has. I think Ambition is a very solid album and probably his best. He also, as recent as 2015, dropped the album About Nothing, which was one of my favorite albums from that year, even with 2015 being a stacked music year for hip-hop. But the bottom line is, critically and commercially, he's just not popping. He's not getting great reviews on these albums, and they're not selling well. And record labels just don't want that. And so this is kind of his last shot here. Warner signed him up, picked him up, and he dropped two EPs this year already. He dropped It's Complicated, which is like four love-based tracks. I thought that was pretty average. You're plain Wale you've been getting for a few years now. But self-promotion shows a little something left, especially the track Negotiations. There are definitely a couple songs on there where you just feel that hunger inside him. And that confidence, and he does have some lyrics and some good messages that he gets across and some really strong topics. So I don't know, maybe this new scenery will inspire a comeback, but I gotta say I'm nervous for Wale, even with this change of pace over to Warner Brothers Records. I can't see him ever working his way back into those elite circles. He's not gonna be able to compete with the Drakes, the Kendricks, the Coles, on and on and on. And once you fall out, it's so hard to reheat yourself in this like modern day climate, because people are one day they're on something, the next day it's something completely different. You come and you go so fast with the internet culture and the way things are in this like generation of music listeners and just the modern culture in general. So now that he's fallen off, I don't see him getting back. I just want to see him drop like one more good, solidly above average album. I think that would be a success. Tie up his career. He's a fundamentally decent rapper, but you know, this just might be who he is at this point. And I don't see him making a drastic comeback. I don't see him adapting to things the way J. Cole has done on KOD. And he just can't compete lyrically with a lot of guys. And I know he's not the type to switch up and go into the new wave trap sound, which is really your only chance at getting like really hot, charting really high, moving units, making money these days. So I wish the best for Wale, but I think that we're definitely nearing the end of his career. So I'm sorry, Wale fans, but I don't think changing record label is going to change Wale enough at this point. So I hate to take 5 minutes out of the podcast just to put Wale in his grave, but we got to do it. RIP, we're gonna take a quick 10 seconds of silence in honor of a man who once crafted bangers on the MMG label with Rick Ross and Meek Mill. So hold your head with me and just wait for the song of the week on the other side. This one's for Wale. Whew, that was tough. Very sad, but we had to do it. And what better of a way to move on than to dive right into our song of the week? We stay listening to some heat for song of the week. New singles coming out all the time, and I'll play the best of them for you here on the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. And this week, we have a man who's not even really a rapper, a man I've wanted to talk about for quite a while now, but I hadn't had a good reason to bring him up and introduce him to you guys. But he is an artist I'm really interested in, brand new, and that is Joji. He dropped his single, Yeah Right. And for those of you who don't know, Joji is a Japanese-born internet star. He's gotten famous for, like, the weirdest stuff. He came up making these, like, really strange comedy-based YouTube videos under the moniker Filthy Frank. He had a bunch of characters, and he'd do impersonations. It's, like, the exact opposite of what the music he makes now. He had actually developed a kind of a jokey rap character to bring some of his YouTube impersonations to life into music. But it was all, like, very crude, very strange content. Shit you think is funny when you're like 10 and you stumble upon the internet the first time. And if you know this guy, Filthy Frank, and you don't know him as the artist Joji, you're like, there's no way I could ever take this guy seriously. But he has done it. He's made a serious shift in the way he wants to be an entertainer. And he's kind of grown up and he's making like this adult music now. He's not a rapper, like I said. He's exclusively a singer up to this point. He's really an R&B artist that just works with a lot of really dope lo-fi hip-hop beats. It's like every track he makes is perfect for like an atmospheric 2 a.m. emotional jam. It's like all of them feed perfectly into that feeling in that zone. And almost all of his songs are surrounding some traumatic love experiences he's been through. And he has this really woozy, sad voice. And it's just, it's so perfect for that feeling and emotion. And like all of his songs just like crush it. Like it seems like every single one serves the exact same purpose, but I still just like love them all equally. Like it's, he makes really good music, and I'm just, you would never have known it based off his previous YouTube personality and his channel there. But that's the type of music that he's just gone headfirst into recently. Hopefully it continues to come and he drops like a full debut album soon. I'm really looking forward to it. I really like this guy, even though, like I said, it's not really hip-hop, but R&B is pretty close, and the production is definitely like lo-fi hip-hop beats, and they're all like just really fucking nice. And his newest single is no different. So this is your song of the week, Yeah Right by Joji.
You know that we ain't never gonna
So that's Yeah Right by Joji. Hope you guys enjoyed that. I've just been really feeling him and his music, and particularly that song recently. I've been wanting to talk about him for a while, like I said, and so I'm just glad I was finally able to play some of his music for you guys, because I think he is really talented. I don't know when he'll be dropping more music, if that maybe is a lead single for a debut album. Who knows? What I do know is we're getting some new drops coming up next week, and some that just dropped today that I'm excited about. So let's get into it. New music announcements. May 18th, just dropped this week. We got Dreaming Out Loud by Nick Grant, Light of Mine by Kyle, Reckless by Nav, Harder Than Ever by Lil Baby, and Chained to the City EP by Kevin Gates. I don't think there's any like heavy hitters in that group, but Dreaming Out Loud, Nick Grant has been a guy I've kind of enjoyed his music. He had a mixtape, 88, in 2016 that I really enjoyed, so hopefully he can come through on there. Lil Baby is capable of making heat singles. Obviously, My Dog was huge this past year, and he's really coming to his own on the Quality Control label down there based out of Atlanta. Kyle, I'm not expecting much from him on Light of Mine. We'll see. So those are kind of the big three that dropped just this week, and if we look forward to May 25th, we are finally getting Pusha T's magnum opus, or so-called magnum opus, King Push. If it's all it's hyped up to be, could be one of the best albums of the year. We are getting a Bow Wow album, Greenlight 6. I cannot say I'm too excited for that one. We'll see what Bow Wow's got, though. And we also are getting Trap Holiday by Zaytoven. New announcements are coming out all the time, confirmations of release dates, so I'm sure there'll probably be more coming out next week, May 25th, week of at least. But as of right now, those are the only ones I know of that are confirmed. Next episode, we'll run through it again with any new additions to the group. But that's what you got coming up the next couple weeks, the newest hip-hop drops that are going to be hitting streaming services. If you don't listen to anything else this year, listen to King Push. Like I said, if it's all typed up to be, it's going to be amazing. It's executive produced by Kanye West, one of the best to ever do it. I can't wait. So if you only listen to a handful of rap albums every year, make that one of them. So that's all we got today on the Hip Hop Enthusiast Podcast. You know what it is, keeping you up to date on hip hop music in 2018. I'm going to go bump some old Pusha T in preparation for next week's drop. Thank you guys for listening. Again, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, tell your friends about it. This is the quickest and easiest way to keep up with everything going on in rap music. And I hope you guys are learning a lot and gaining a deeper appreciation for hip-hop music. So I'll see you guys next time. Peace.